called a barber shop at the suggestion of a coworker and made an appointment to come after work. The question I had when I called the barber was, do you know how to cut flat top haircuts? I was assured over the phone by the barber that she did, in fact, know how to cut flat top haircuts. And at first, things were going quite well. She starts with the sides, like a lot of barbers do. And we had a discussion about what length of clipper guide, how long I wanted the hair on top. And then it happened. I felt the guide go into my head and start cutting, looked in the mirror, and there was the reverse mohawk. And all of the hair that would have been cut flat was now lying on the floor. I smiled politely as she continued to cut off the rest of my hair, making me look like a new army recruit. When I was getting ready to leave, I decided to say very politely, you know, I think it looks more like a buzz cut than a flat top. And she agreed, and she said, she assured me she did know how to cut flat tops. It had just been a very long time that she got nervous. She said she's going to work with a master barber that she knows, and she asked me to come back and try her again in a month when my hair had grown back. So we'll see. You know, there's so many times that we think we know something for sure. This girl thought for sure that she remembered how to cut a flat top. And I think she really was trying. And then, you know, she just, out of rope, she realized it the instant I realized it. It wasn't going to be a flat top, that it was going to be what it is. If you're listening on the interwebs, just imagine John Kerry from the movies, or John Candy from the movie Stripes, and you get the picture. But we imagine that we know things, when in reality, something might be different. The Corinthians were having a hard time imagining life after death. The Corinthians were having a hard time imagining the resurrection. They couldn't wrap their mind around a concept that we see as very commonplace. Nobody really believed in the resurrection back then. The Jews didn't believe in it. There's no evidence in the Old Testament that Jews commonly believed in life after death. The Greeks believed in a different version of it, but bodily resurrection, where your body comes out of the grave, you're human, not just some soul. The Greeks had this idea that, yes, there was, if you were good, your soul could rise again, but the person who had the worst life on earth still had it better than the best soul in the afterlife. So the Greeks were having, these Greek Corinthians were having a hard time wrapping their minds about this. The Jewish Christians were having an even worse time. But at a time that we know is indeed coming, a time that is much talked about, when the resurrection happens, we can still only imagine.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. You say, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees, will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah?
not be able to speak at all. I can only imagine, and I can only imagine. That day comes, and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. And I can only imagine.
1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you, and if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers. 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. But whatever I am now, it's all because God poured out his special favor on me, and not without results. For I have worked harder than any other of the apostles. Yet it was not I, but God, who was working through me by his grace. So it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach, for we all preach the same message. You have already believed. Christ died for our sins already, just as the Scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day. That, in a nutshell, is the statement of our faith. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and raised from the dead on the third day. The Corinthians are claiming they believe this message, that they've been brought by Peter and Paul and Timothy and others. Yet the Corinthians had a problem. They believe in Jesus. They may even believe that he was bodily resurrected. But there were some among them who didn't believe. They couldn't imagine that they would be bodily resurrected. Verse 12, but tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God. For we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came from the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ is given a new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. After that, the end will come. He will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power. For Christ must reign until he humbles all of his enemies beneath his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. For the scriptures say, God has put all things under his authority. Of course, when it says all things are under his authority, that does not include God himself, who gave Christ the authority. Then, when all things are under his authority, the Son will put himself under God's authority, so that God, who gave his Son authority over all things, will be utterly supreme over everyone, everything, everywhere. And why should we ourselves risk our lives hour by hour? If there's no resurrection, I swear, dear brothers and sisters, that I face death daily. This is as certain as my pride in what Jesus Christ our Lord has done in you. And what value is there in fighting wild beasts, those people of Ephesus, if there's no resurrection from the dead? And if there's no resurrection, let's feast and drink, for tomorrow we may be in Utah. Actually, it says, let's feast and drink, for tomorrow we may die, but it's the same thing. Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Think carefully about what is right and stop sinning. For it is to your shame that I say some of you don't know God at all. The Greek Corinthians had this belief that spirits raised, but not bodies. I skipped a verse. If you're reading along, you're going, you skipped a verse. Paul's writing to a Greek belief in verse 29. And I wanted to separate this out specifically because if you're in Utah, they do this. If the dead will not be raised, what point is there in people being baptized for those who are dead? Who do it unless the dead will someday rise again? I'm studying for my sermon this week, and the brakes came on. I missed this until this week. I missed this verse. I'm like, hold it. The Mormons are right. We can baptize people after they're dead. And what they do is, you know, you take on the name of someone, they go baptize you, and then they take on the name of someone else. They got people getting baptized all day long for people who are dead. That's not what Paul's talking about. I got on the internet real fast. I got up the commentaries real fast. When Paul says baptism for the dead, he's referring specifically to a Greek practice that was going on back then. People were doing the same thing. But all he's saying is, those people who don't even know about Christ, who has risen from the dead, with the promise that you will rise from the dead as well, they believe it. So why can't you wrap your mind around this as well? If the pagans believe in a resurrection, why can't you believe in a resurrection? The bigger picture is the rest of that section. The bigger picture is that the Corinthian believers didn't believe that humans could be resurrected. If they don't believe that humans can be resurrected, then what about Jesus? Jesus was human. He was raised from the dead. But if they believe humans cannot be raised from the dead, then Jesus was not raised from the dead. And all those who say that he was are liars. Jesus appeared in human form to Peter, to the 12, to the 500, and to Paul. But if you don't believe that humans raised from the dead, they're all liars. Not only that, Jesus is a liar because he said that he would come back from the dead. That's what Paul's telling the Corinthians who don't believe in the resurrection. But Paul ends the debate by saying, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all those who have died. I saw him with my own two eyes. He's saying there's 500 people who've seen him with their own eyes after he died on the cross. You know Peter. Peter saw him. You've met some of the 12. They have saw him. Of all the advantages they had back then, of all the eyewitnesses they had, they couldn't wrap their eyes around it. Fortunately, 2,000 years later, we believe in the resurrection of the dead. We don't need the eyewitnesses. We have their written account. But we don't need Paul sitting here going, yeah, I saw him. I know Paul saw him. I know Jesus rose from the dead. I know by believing in Jesus, I'll rise from the dead too after I die. And I'll spend eternity with him. Because if Christ is risen from the dead, you can too. If Jesus was merely a man who taught good things but was still a liar, what was the point? In other words, if Jesus taught all kinds of good things. He pulled stuff out of the Old Testament law. He was a great teacher. And there are people today who say, oh, he was just a great teacher. He's still a liar. Because he said he was going to rise from the dead. What's the point? I don't want to follow the teachings of a liar. There's some who say that, well, the apostles made it up. The apostles didn't get it. It says right in Scripture, every time Jesus said, oh, I'm coming back from the dead, they'd be like, eh, whatever, okay. I don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. The apostles wouldn't have made this up. Just like they would, if they were making it up, they wouldn't have had Mary be the first person to have seen him. They wouldn't have made up resurrection from the dead because no one believes in resurrection from the dead in their time. Modern dogma tells us that we're just evolved animals more than the other less evolved animals around us. Well, if that's true, what's the point of helping other people, of having morals, of doing what is right? No, I believe that we were created by God. And that God sent his son Jesus, who was born of a virgin, who lived the life of an ordinary man and taught us to live an extraordinary life. I believe that he was tried, executed, buried, and returned from the grave. The Old Testament promises a Messiah that will conquer all enemies, culminating in the greatest enemy, death. Jesus conquered death when he walked out of that tomb on that first Easter Sunday. With that, what that resurrection, what that life after death is going to be like, I can only imagine. But Paul gives us some clues. Someone may ask, verse 35, but someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? What a foolish question. When you put a seed into the ground and it doesn't grow into a plant until it dies first. And what you put into the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever you're planting. Then God gives it a new body that he wants it to have. A different plant grows from each kind of seed. Similarly, there are different kinds of flesh. One kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are also bodies in the heavens and bodies on the earth. The glory of the heavenly bodies is different from the glory of the earthly bodies. The sun has one kind of glory, while the moon and stars each have another kind. And even the stars differ from each other in their glory. It's the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planting in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they'll be raised in glory. They're buried in weakness, but they'll be raised in strength. They're buried as natural human bodies, but they'll be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. The scripture tells us the first man, Adam, became a living person. But the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. What comes first is the natural body, then the spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Earthly people are like the earthly man, and heavenly people are like the heavenly man. Just as we are now like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man. What I'm saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. What will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown? For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have become transformed into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for that you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. When you plant a seed, something extraordinary happens. It becomes something totally different from the seed. Any guess at what types of seeds these are? Nah, too small for watermelon. I'll bring it around. Any guess?
Lettuce.
Not mustard. You're right, though. Great things come from a tiny mustard seed. Little dinky, for you on the winter interwebs, these are little bitty dinky weak seeds. About the same size as sesame seeds on a hamburger bun, but they're not sesame seeds. Any guesses, anybody? I'm going around. Yeah, but you know what the bag is. Pastor, if you didn't hear Pastor Val, these are lettuce seeds. Little dinky winky things.
What kind of lettuce?
Iceberg lettuce. Lit little dinky winky, little tinky winky seeds. From that come big old head of lettuce. See that little, you know, but you couldn't tell. I mean, if I just, unless you saw the package, you know, like Pastor Val cheating, little teeny weeny lettuce seeds. Yeah. You couldn't. I'll give you the rest of the package, Annie. honestly, I'd never seen lettuce seeds before. I couldn't tell you where the seeds come from on a head of lettuce if I had to. You know? Now, if I was going to see if they're good. But you have to plant these seeds in the ground. This seed will die and become something totally different. Something wonderful is going to happen. That seed will die and a little green sprout will come out of it. Before long, that little green sprout's going to poke out of the ground. And it's going to become a head of lettuce. And then it's going to go on my taco. But you know, we're going to change too. Paul talks, we're going to be planted into the ground. And we'll come back as spiritual beings. But you know, God works with us in this life too. We become changed. We may start out pretty plain and uncommon, like these little lettuce seeds. If I didn't know the package, if I hadn't read lettuce on the package, I would have no clue. And then God transforms us and He works with us. He knows that sometimes we're still going to make mistakes. You know, I have the option of not going back to that girl who gave me a buzz cut when she thought she was giving me a flat top. But God doesn't give up. We make mistakes. We think we're given a flat top and we give life a buzz cut. God doesn't give up on us. He comes back and sits back in that chair and says, try again. I haven't decided if I'm going to try again or not. But we make mistakes and God works with us. It isn't about being perfect in this life. It's about having Jesus. Paul commends us to always work enthusiastically for the Lord. We work because He saved us. We work because He's changed us. And someday, we're going to be rewarded. I can only imagine.